League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Dave Morency, throwing it down with the Raging Redheads. Ken Stewart, what up? Pluto, what up? Sumo, what up? Stir, let's stir the drink and get this thing done. We're back in the cage. UFC Fight Night. We've got NASCAR. We've got Bundesliga. We've got skins games. Man, we've got we've got sports. That's what we've got. No, we've got sports to break down. But tonight we're about the UFC. We'll get into some baseball a little bit later on. You know, I want to start off with the UFC, but me and Cam both got a little fired up. It is what it is. And we went on a little tirade about Major League Baseball and their false news plans. I just love that, false news.
Yeah, false news. It's better if it's fake. False news is better.
The term fake news is bothering me. It's overplayed, right?
But, yeah, it is. It's false news.
So just for the record, when Chris Johnson was accused of, what was it, like killing someone or something?
Yes, yes. It was. I think it was murder. Yes.
He said false news. That's all he tweeted. Nothing else. False news.
False news.
I like that. False news. What's not false news is a kid in Brazil broke Tony Hawk's world record. All right? Which is unbelievable. No one's ever done this before. So, except I know Cam's come close. I know you've come close a couple of times. I know, Cam, you can pull off the Tony Hawk 900, but can you pull off the 1080? And basically, an 11-year-old kid did something that no skateboarder's done. Tony Hawk didn't do it. He surpassed. He's an 11-year-old prodigy from Brazil. And it's funny. His father says now that he doesn't have to go to school every day, he has time to practice more. And that's how he pulled it off. You know, so this kid's the future of skateboarding. 11 years old, and he pulled that move off. Unbelievable.
No, you're saying something, Gabe. Like, I could barely get down the street with a skateboard. What that kid did, and the age of 11? Are you kidding me? That's what tells you about kids. You know what it is? It's a different world we're living in. Kids are fearless now. Like, even in everything. Like, you know what I mean? You're watching shows. Kids are like professional cooks, professional skateboarders. Like, there's no more being a kid. These kids grow up, and this kid is the real
and
deal.
Guys, so he did a 360 three times.
That's unreal. 11 years old.
He did like, a 360. He went up, he spun around, like all the way around again, which is impossible. No one's done it. I think his weight helped him actually because he's a little smaller, you know? Yep. But as you mentioned, he's fearless. I used to have a ramp on my roof and a basketball court and stuff. It was like a circus. So just skateboard and play basketball all day out there. Dude, I used to wipe out all the time on the ramp. Like, I had a hard time, bro, just sort of like, for me, there was no tricks. I could go up and down. You know, it was pretty cool. I could turn around and go back the other way. I couldn't even, like, ride the rail on top. I would, like, tumble down. I didn't like wiping out. I didn't have pads or anything. And I used to wipe out and cut myself all the time. But I was a really good street skater, Kev. When I was a teenager, I used to ride a skateboard on the street everywhere. and like fearless type thing, like flying off of sidewalks, pulling like on the back of buses, like the whole nine yards, going down hills full speed. I wiped out a lot. Like I busted myself up pretty good. Actually, like I really messed myself up once and I sort of stopped after that. Busted my face up, thought I broke my arm and stuff. Like,
hey, man, I went down like it's dangerous.
I pretty much did like one of those like dares. Yep. It was sort of like this hill in Montreal that was like you became a legend if you skated it type thing. I was like, I could do that. I did it. I pulled it off, but I wiped out at the bottom of the hill pretty hard. We want to welcome everybody listening on SB Nation Radio, the loudest station in the nation. I'm Renzi. We're throwing it down with a Rachel Redhead Cadstort. As Bruce Buffer would say, it's time for the UFC. So let's jump in with some UFC picks. We were talking in hour one about Anthony Smith. Both me and Cam like Anthony Smith to win the fight. I think it's going to go over 2.5 rounds. Cam likes Ben Rothwell. I'm going to take OSP in this fight. And I'm going to, I've already rolled the dice on this. And this fight's going to go the distance. Plus 156 is plus 156 for a reason. We were talking about Drew Dober. And this guy's a real tough kid, this guy. And so is Alexander Hernandez. Both these kids, both these guys are mean-spirited, Cam. You know what I mean? Like Alexander Hernandez basically stated, oh, I had coronavirus, but I kicked its ass. It's scared of me. And then he goes on to say, I don't even care about this virus. He said his training was good because he trains with a bunch of Brazilians that didn't believe in the virus. So he goes, oh, no, my camp was totally normal. I train with a bunch of crazy dudes that don't care. But he's getting Drew Dober here, bro, and you talked about it. You look at Dober, he beat Hasparast. 1 round, 1 minute and 10 seconds into the first round. TKO punches. Beat Marco Polo. Marco.
Polo.
Reyes. Beat him. 107. This guy's last two fights, bro, he's only been in the cage for 2 minutes and 17 seconds.
No, it's crazy. Like, so think about this. Hernandez, Gabe, right? 13 professional fights. He's never lost by submission. What's that? These guys like to they like to throw him. And Dober the same way. Like, this guy hasn't lost a decision in 12 consecutive fights. Well, that's unbelievable. And his UFC debut, May 31st, 2014, versus Nick Hayne. I'll tell you something, man. That's these guys are going to kill each other. You're right. Bloodbath of the night.
No, this is the fight of the night. I'm telling you. Yeah. You'll see. Tomorrow, when we talk about this, when we break down this card, you're going to go, you were right, Morency. That was the fight of the night. I think these guys are really going to bring it. We'll continue to break down the numbers here. Yeah, this fight, I'm not so sure this one. I don't know if I have the heart to bet this one to go the distance. I'll tell you that much.
No.
Both these guys are going to be looking for finishes. You know, Dober actually might be the more polished fighter. I was attracted by the odds of Hernandez being the underdog. Hernandez is a tough kid, though, bro. I mean, you know, Benel Dariush is a very good fighter. All right? He knocked him the F out. Olivier Aubin-Mercier, kid from Quebec, he's all right. Good wrestler, though. And he outgrinded him. All right, Cowboy Cerrone was tough, man. Cowboy Cerrone is a tough dude. He's an older, he's like a man, right?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We'll be right back.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Morenci, UFC. We're on the clock. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, with us. Robert Murray will join us a little bit later on. We're going to talk some baseball. George Kurtz will check in with Kurtz and see if his backyard's available, because it looks like the commissioners are going to need a place to play. We're talking about the UFC right now, and Alexander Hernandez and Drew Dober is going to be a great fight. Man, you look at Drew Dober, 5-1 over his last six fights, three wins via KO, TKO. Only of his two of his past eight fights have gone the distance. All right, only two. Hasn't lost a decision in 12 consecutive contests, as you mentioned. And you look at Alexander Hernandez, seven of his 13 fights have been finished inside the distance as well.
Yep.
I think they might, they might neutralize each other a little bit here, though.
That's an interesting point. You have both guys who have knockout potential. These guys are absolute killers. The question I ask you, Gabe, and you know these guys more, who's got a better ground game if it does get to the ground?
I'd say Hernandez.
Interesting. And Dober's got more, a little bit more zip in his hands.
I don't know if you can say that. Hernandez is kind of raw. He's still young. I think Hernandez is like, I'm surprised. So much respect they have for Drew Dober, because Hernandez is always favored. He was even favored against Cowboy Cerrone.
Wow.
And I was on Cowboy in that fight. But it was a man versus a kid. I'll tell you what, the over-under is 2.5 in this fight. And, man, it's plus 126 to the under. You're getting plus money. Will this fight go the distance? No is minus 110. I don't think this fight goes the distance. I could see this fight being stopped at one point or the other. Someone could do some severe damage here.
Oh, yeah. And you say when you have... But you bring up a very interesting point that people don't talk about. When you have two guys with the exact same style, sometimes weird things happen. You might be able to feel it out for a while. They're not just going to come here and start slamming like they're in a phone booth. This could get interesting because they both respect the other man's power. So that could be an interesting thing to think about. But you know what? Somebody is going to get clipped. It'd be hard. You'd be hard-pressed to bet on the over in this fight, Gabe.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought about Ngannou, too, and Jairzinho. Well, yeah, they'll be a little patient at first. Yeah, yeah. Patient for about 19 seconds.
Yes.
It was funny, that's too. Ngannou really didn't do anything either.
No, he didn't.
He literally stood there kind of and did nothing for like 20 seconds, whatever it was, 25 seconds. And he was like, all right, I'm going to come in and just throw a flurry of punches now. And Jairzinho was just completely overwhelmed. Man, this Drew Dober fight, this is a really, really tough fight, actually. This is a tough one. I'm going with Alexander Hernandez. I'm going to roll the dice here with the kid, Alexander the Great.
I don't know, Gabe. I might let this one be and try to find something else. Like you called it, too close to call. I kind of want to take Dober, but, you know, that's the thing. You said Hernandez is a little bit rawer, but this fight, it's almost a pick 'em for a reason. It's too tight to call. I'm going to have to pass on that one.
Ricky Simon and Ray Borg. We've talked about this fight earlier in the week. Interesting fight. Ray Borg's been through a lot. He had a child born, nearly passed away at birth. Of course, he got hit in the face with a dolly, the glass with Conor McGregor. He was out. He's had injuries. But he's won a couple of fights. He gets Ricky Simon now. Though Ricky Simon's 2 inches taller. He's got a 6-inch reach advantage. It's just going to be an uphill climb, I think. For Ray Borg in this fight. Now, how about this, though, Cam, as far as going to distance? Ray Borg's last nine fights have gone the distance. Ricky Simon, 8-1 to the distance in his last nine. It's minus 240. But there's some good parlay material for you right there.
Excellent point. You got to parlay it. You got it. You know, and that's not too bad. You talk about it. These minus 240s, so you say you parlay that with Smith in the first fight, you probably turn that into a minimal plus number, right? And that's what I'm going to try to do with these fights. Love to do the two-fight parlays to plus money. That's the way I'm going to handle it.
You know what I often do, too, is I'll play the an over, or will a fight go the distance? And if there's big odds, like a good example is like the women's fight the other night.
Yep.
Like Esparza and Watterson. Everybody knew it was going to distance, bro. It was like minus 330 or something like that. But it went the distance, right? Like, that's like, you know, you parlay that with something else, you got yourself a little plus 103, right? So, look, I just put this in here. Will that fight go the distance? Yes. So they're not going to let it parlay. You can't parlay it with the same fighter. You're going to have to mix it up a little bit. You know, which other fight, you know, you want to take with a fighter,
Let's say you say Anthony Smith in the main event. You want to get it out of the way. You want to add Anthony Smith into the parlay. And Anthony Smith, so Anthony Smith and Ricky Simon, Anthony Smith to win, and Ricky Simon and Ray Borg to go the distance is plus 120.
I got no problem with that. That's right? Nice.
So it's plus a little, money. It's a fight earlier. You don't even pull for anyone. You're like, all right, guys, just don't do anything. Simon, like I said, 8-1 gone the distance last nine. Ray Borg, his last nine fights have gone the distance. Most likely they're going to go the distance. Then suddenly you've got it out of the way. Instead of laying 180 on the main event, you've got Anthony Smith in your back pocket at plus 120. And hell, if you want it, I know, hedging's for gardeners, but yeah, you have a little wiggle room.
Yeah, if you needed a bucket of chicken or a pizza or something like that, right? You take the plus 120, or the other one would be plus 160. You got plus money to something. So yeah, if you're desperate to bring out the shears, time to hedge.
I tell you what, this next fight here, Vittori and Robertson, you know, minus 178. People really aren't. Everyone's all over Vittori. Everywhere you read, people picking Vittori here. This is an interesting one. I'm kind of tempted to roll the dice with an underdog. It was a favorite dominated car the other night. Fabricio Werdum got caught speeding. Listen, each card is different. Robertson's a big dude.
Yeah, and he shouldn't be that much of a dog, buddy. Like, what's you say? People, Vittori's good. You know, I've seen him fight a river, but what would you have made this line? Not a $1.75, $1.80. You would have made it what? $1.40?
There's a lot of hype about Vittori.
Might maybe too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype about Vittori. The thing is that Vittori fought Adesanya and went the distance. And Adesanya is one of the best fighters in the world right now, so he gets a lot of respect coming in here. But I just think the number is a little bit too much. And you want to talk about fights going to the distance here. You look at Vittori, his last six fights have gone the distance. All right, and Robertson's not an easy guy to control. You look at Robertson, and three of his last four fights have gone the distance. So three of his last four fights have gone the distance. I think we could be looking at an over in this fight here, Cam. Over under rounds, maybe not going the distance here, but as far as rounds, I'm just loading up what the current number is right now for the total here. And I think we can get there, actually. As people see, I'm a fan of...
You like these overs.
I like UFC overs, and I'm pretty good with them generally. It comes in waves, though. You know this, Cam. It's contagious, right?
It is.
Fighters backstage, and they're all watching and stuff, they see, like, crazy stuff. It's contagious. They're almost like, man, we got to top that last fight. I want to get the fight of the night bonus. Yeah. Right? It's $50,000.
It's a lot. Right?
Like, they put that money out there for a reason, to try to encourage you to say, listen, don't just go out there and try to win. But, try to go out there and put on a show and we'll give you money. So the total here, I'm not surprised. It's minus 198, Cam.
Wow. Are you willing to parlay it with the other one and hope for two
that's
overs?
Perfect.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
That's probably
a plus money parlay.
Exactly. I got to tell you something, Gabe. Robertson, I'm going to take a shot there. That's too much juice. There's no lock. That line is a little bit high, and sometimes you got to take a flyer. You think this could be a close fight, and you're getting that kind of number?
And a fight that's going to go to the decision, you never know, right?
Exactly.
I mean, look at us. You don't know how they're going to see it.
What about the women's fight? We thought we won with Watterson, right? We didn't win. And then the Pettis fight was tight when it went to decision. So anything's possible. I'm going to go with Robertson as a dog, and I'm going to ride your over.
I like this. Robertson, only two of his 11 professional fights have resulted in a KO or a TKO.
Yeah, nice.
Sounds to me. And how about this? Vittori, only two of his 19 fights have been decided by KO or TKO.
Perfect.
Yeah, this one should be going the distance. So we got to get an Andre Arlovsky, the ageless one, Andre Arlovsky. But Andre Arlovsky is like 3-9-1. There's a no contest, I believe it was. He's won three times since the last 13 fights.
Yeah, you got to go. You're taking Lins.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's one of these things where you don't overcomplicate things, right? You got a guy that's three. He's won the last 13 times he stepped into the cage. He's only left three times with the money. That's not something that I'm going to be putting my money on in this situation. But we'll nail down our best bets for the main card. We still got a little time before the main card. We'll talk baseball and more. Get on the grid. We'll Bunker's basement, as we like to call it. And yes, as always, it got some love earlier in the show. Cam says hello to Mr. Walsh. How's it going, Kevin?
I'm doing good. Dad is doing well. I'll pass the good wishes along, and I promise they are reciprocated. I'm glad that the basement has become a staple of the network during these times.
Oh, and it has to stay in future times, actually. You know what I mean? And in fact, I think we should move the headquarters to your basement. Like that should be like the headquarters and all the live programming. Like people show up at your house at 6 a.m. and stuff. You got to, hey, how you doing? You're going to charge them, of course. You charge them a premium.
Oh, yeah. This isn't free. Listen, if you think, we're welcoming here, but at the end of the day, there comes a price where, you're going to have to pay for the facilities. Now, we'll make it worth the while, right? Maybe we'll get breakfast going. It all depends, but stuff ain't free.
As I found out in quarantine here, George Kurtz, a member of Sports Grid, his backyard is so big, evidently. He lives in the middle of nowhere, but his backyard is so big, they could play baseball in his backyard. Like, if the Yankees need a place to play, I think they could set up in Kurtz's backyard. So, before we get into the NBA with you, it was the Money in the Bank pay-per-view over the weekend. First one since they did WrestleMania that was actually a lot of fun. And I was going to watch the Money in the Bank stuff, but I fell asleep. At about 6:30, 7:30 or so, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, The Last Dance was on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to choose between the two of them. I'm going to watch The Last Dance right now. And get this. Somebody sent me a message saying, Morenci, I think I have all the winners for this card here tonight. And they freaking killed it. They can only get $50 in per bet, but I had nowhere to bet it. So that just frustrated me. I didn't want to watch it without betting it. But did you check it out?
Yeah, of course I watched it. Some of the stuff was all right. Mainly the whole reason people were there was the new cinematic match of the Money in the Bank. And I came on here, Boneyard match, Firefly Funhouse match, loved them. This I did not enjoy that much. It didn't work for me. Some of the stuff was funny. Like, Otis, getting distracted by pies was funny. Him being too fat to climb a steel, enforced ladder and then winning the briefcase because AJ Styles fumbled it like a Dez Bryant catch? No, that didn't work for me. They killed people. They threw two people off the roof and just moved on.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decision continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on the grid. Let's bring in Sports Grid's George Kurtz. Colonel Kurtz steps up and into the batter's box. What's going on, George?
Hey, Gabe, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, George. Me and Cam got kind of fired up earlier about Major League Baseball's plans to come back. And you would think that me and Cam were Major League Baseball players, and we were as insulted as the players are by this so-called proposal. But just for the record, the proposal was to start the season, hopefully July 4th, to play in all of the home stadiums without fans and then eventually phase fans in. There would be a 50-50 revenue split for the remainder of the season between the owners and the players, which is a big sticking point. One thing I don't understand why they would add playoffs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we got to be safer, so let's add more teams to the playoffs. Doesn't really make sense to me. but they would go to 14 playoff teams from 10. So there'd be four more teams in the playoffs. And, you know, that's the gist of it. The rosters would be 30 players. There was nothing about safety. There was nothing about testing. There was nothing about anything. And, the DH would be used in both leagues. And it would just basically be divisional play. So, you know, it would be like half a season, mostly divisional play, and maybe a couple of games, a couple of series against teams in another division that are geographically close to you. What did you like and dislike about the proposal before we get into the reality of it?
Well, it's a glorified spring training proposal. You're going to play the teams that are closest to you, that are in your area. What's going to happen, Gabe, though, I mean, with baseball, when the governors say yes or no? Of those states that you can play there, you can't play there. Those teams have to move. How does that change things? It is. That's what I like. I do like the DH in both leagues. I've had it with pitchers hitting. You know, half these pitchers want nothing to do with it. They're in the end of the batter's box. They just wave at the pitch as it's going by. They're afraid. So I like that.
I adamantly disagree with that stance. You're an American League guy because, you know, that it's part of the strategy. That's when pinch hitting comes into play. That's when you decide when you have to take a pitcher out. That's the difference between managing and sitting there and drinking beer. American League baseball to me is like softball. It's not even real baseball.
My problem is if it was the other way around and they said no more DH, I'd be fine with that too. I want the same rules in both leagues. I think it's idiotic that one league has one rule, the other league has the other. It's like football going, you know, when you're playing in the AFC, we're only going to play 10 on 10. We're not going to go 11 on 11. I think that's just silly to me. It's always bothered me. So I
understand, but they're separate leagues, right?
But it's kind of silly.
They are, but they aren't. Yeah, they used to be more distinguished, right? That they were. Remember, they used to have their own commissioner and everything.
Yes,
the baseballs were signed differently and stuff.
Each league had their own president.
President. There was a commissioner and a president. Exactly. So, yeah, you're right. And now with interleague play, I get it, George. I get it. But I don't like the DH. I'm not a fan of it. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just telling you. And, you know, maybe it matters where you grew up. But, listen, you grew up in a city in which that had National League and American League baseball. Right? So you've grown up watching the Mets and the Yankees, but you're a Yankee fan. So you're more of an American League guy by nature. I grew up watching the Expos, the Mets, National League East baseball, and I'm a Dodger fan as well, but that's National League baseball as well. I've always just preferred National League baseball, George.
Yeah, there's no argument that in National League there's more strategy. I mean, you're 100% correct there, obviously, for obvious reasons.
What about stolen bases and stuff?
Yeah, but that's all comes down to the numbers, people. They don't want you stealing base anymore unless you're 80% successful.
I know. I hate that.
Right, because they don't want to give up that out money ball. They don't, 127 outs, they don't want to give it up unless you're 80% successful so you don't run anymore. I mean, come on, Gabe. How many times did you see a hit and run last year? I count it on one hand. You just don't see it anymore. No one's moving a runner over. They're all going for a two-run homer, a three-run homer. They're not trying to play simple one-run baseball anymore. The game has changed over the
years. Right. I'll give you that, too. The National League is – and listen, the American League is one of the all-star game. We can go over the World Series over the years. But I'm not going to – I can't disagree with that sentiment, George, that you've seen a power shift literally and figuratively to the National League as well, where everybody just plays for the home run now. It's unfortunate. Hitters swing. I remember years ago – when I was the Expos post-game show host, and you know, I had conversations with players all the time and off the record, etc. And I became buddies with Brad Wilkerson. I don't even remember him. Center fielder, good ball player. He was really good, sort of like a 270, 280 type of hitter. You know, great defensive player, was making money. You know, wasn't making massive money in the league, but he started to make a bit of money. One of the worst things ever happened to him, George, is he hit 20 home runs.
Yep.
He hit 20 home runs, you know, and the next year, guy's swinging at everything, man. He's striking out all the time. I was buddies with him, actually over a couple of beers. I said, oh, what's going on, bro? Like, you changed your swing and stuff, haven't you? And he said, you know, I was talking with my agent in the offseason. And he goes, my agent told me hit 30 home runs and you'll really make money now. And so, you know, suddenly, George, he wasn't up there for the betterment of everything. He was literally up there thinking about, if I hit home runs, I will make money. Right? As simple as that. And then suddenly, are you playing for the good of the team? And he's a real team guy, but you see it all the time, George. Everybody swings for the fences now. Right? Remember the old days, it was acceptable to have the skinny shortstop that hit 212 and stuff, right? That's not there anymore, bro. Your second baseman and shortstop better hit 20 home runs nowadays.
Now, the game has changed massively. No one chokes up anymore. No one cares about striking out anymore.
No, you're all right.
I mean, well, what was it? Tony Gwynn struck out 3 times in his career in one game, I think once. Once. And nowadays, I mean, everybody, that's nothing. Aaron Judge will do 4 times in the game, 4 or 5 times a season.
Isn't it the worst, though? Like, when someone puts a shift on or the bases are loaded, it's like, dude, if you would just, like, line it up the middle or you drop a bunt and, you know, we're just move someone over here. Just play baseball the way it was supposed to be played. And what do you hear, George? Well, you know, they're not paying Stanton, you know, $34 million a year to move people over. And then he strikes out. You know what I mean?
You know, Mark Teixeira of the Yankees, because the Yankee announcer would ask him, listen, when they shift, why don't you just lay down a bunt or just slap the ball the other way? And he goes, well, I get paid to hit home runs.
Yeah.
Well, not really. You get paid to win baseball games. All right? And we want to win, you know, fans want to win baseball games. Slap the ball the other way. Get on base. I understand. 7th inning, 8th inning, you're down by a run. Yeah. Try and hit the home run. But you know what? In the 3rd inning, 4th inning, you want to stop that shift. You lay down a bunt a couple of times. You slap the ball there a couple of times. That shift goes away. If you can prove you can do that, yeah, the shift goes bye-bye.
It's called situational hitting, right? Yeah, it's called situational hitting, and they don't seem to get it, but it's accepted, right? It's not mine. And listen, the guy can strike out 3 times, hit a home run, they're going to take it, right? Like, that's the way they look at it. And, you know, I don't agree with it, but that's the change. And now, you know, the general managers want that. I mean, guys like Mike Socha, you know, clash because of that stuff, right? You know, we're, you know, the old, well, we don't pay the guy to do that. And you just said it. Mark Teixeira said it himself. They're not paying me to do that, right? So the players sort of understand that. The other term I hate is launch angles. Well, the launch angle's different. And it's like, no, the launch angles, they're trying to murder the ball. Like every one of them, like, they're all trying. Like if everyone tries to hit home run, therefore there's going to be more home runs as opposed to, you know what? I'm just going to try to line it into the gap here. I'm just going to take a single here. No one's impressed with singles anymore.
No.
No one's impressed.
When you and I grew up, Gabe, and we played baseball, when we were first instructed about playing baseball and batting, what were we told? Hit the ball up the middle. I was always told to hit the ball up the middle, right back at the pitcher. Send it back to where it came from. All right, now no one wants that. You're absolutely right.
Our coach, the same thing. It was like basically get on base, walk, hit, run.
I didn't care.
Get on base, yeah.
But the problem is now, I mean, most numbers guys will tell you, you know what? The odds of hitting 3 singles in a row, and that's what it would take to get a run, are not good. Just not good.
Yeah, but what about you? You know, you get it. Well, I don't understand that, but we all know. What's the percentage if you walk if the leadoff runner gets on base?
It's a walk. Leadoff runner walk scores 60% of the time?
Exactly. So that's not a home run. You know, what happened to getting a guy on base, stealing second? There's errors, George. Things happen in baseball. Guys boot balls. You know, sacrifice flies. There's a lot of different ways to score runs. And listen, you look at World Series teams, it's usually small ball that gets it done. Once you get into the playoffs, well, we can get into a debate about this, about like when's the last team to really slug their way to a championship. You know, St. Louis Cardinals in Texas was kind of a crazy World Series years ago. And that's going back a ways. I was living in Vegas back then. All right, so we only got about 2.5-3 minutes left here, George. Sean Doolittle had interesting takes about the health and the concern of players, about people that are coronavirus survivors, even in their 20s and 30s, et cetera, have permanent lung damage, which is a very big concern for athletes. We talked about the rule proposals and their proposal and stuff, but what's the sticking points to you? What catches your eye? What's your take on the whole thing?
Oh, it's going to be the money. It's always the money. Baseball wants nothing to do with a salary cap, and they're viewing this as a salary cap. Yeah, baseball feels like, you know what, we already agreed, we'll prorate our salaries, that's it, we're not doing anything else.
Yeah, that's in their CBA, so why would they expect them to be doing anything else?
I'm curious, Gabe, that deal they made with the owners, we keep hearing the owners said there's a clause in that deal that says if no fans are coming, we can renegotiate that. Is that true or is that not true? If it's true, then I don't think the players have a leg to stand on here, but if it's true, then it gets much dicier. If that clause is there, then the players are wrong.
Why would that clause be there?
I think it's probably not there.
It's not there. I think it's just sort of they're throwing it out there to try to put pressure, even more pressure on the players.
The owner screwed up. Didn't the owner, whoever the lawyer was, the owner screwed up by not putting that clause in. They didn't think ahead.
They would never imagine there's no fans. They didn't, you know what I mean? It was never. The whole thing is, the clause was, if something weird happens, right? If something weird happens, act of God, and Like, basically, the player stance, George, is we already agreed to this by losing 25% of our salary because there's no fans. Right? Like, yeah, the extenuating circumstances in the CBA says, well, all right, we lose 25% of our salary. And Andrew Miller, who's the player rep, the head player rep, current for the, you know, the Cardinals, but head player rep, said, you know, when they sell more tickets, we don't ask for more money. We don't get more money. We're not partners with them. Right? And now suddenly the owners are pulling this, let's get in, you know, we're all family in this together stuff, George. And you and I have talked about this. Owners have been setting this up and lowering the payroll and screwing players for a couple of years now, bro, already. You know this.
And the players know it too, and they're angry. Bottom line is this. Both sides are going to look like complete morons if government says you can play, health says you can play, but they're arguing over money.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any government say they can play. Have you said, oh, no. July 4th, Yankee Stadium's open. Have you seen Cuomo say that?
No, that's a problem in itself. We've got to
get out of here, George. Great talking to you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decision continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on the grid. Let's do this thing. Thanks to George Kurtz for throwing it down. Man, we're getting fired up from impassioned baseball talk on the program today. I didn't think we'd get sidetracked in a little mini argument about the universal DH. And I, for one, I'm against it, and I maintain my stance, all right, that American League Baseball is softball, all right? There's a reason why it's the, you know, the senior circuit and the junior circuit, so to speak. But, yeah, I know. The American League dominates the All-Star game all the time. But let's bring in Robert Murray right now to talk some baseball. The score steps up. And then, Robert, thanks for joining us on the program. How you doing, Robert?
I'm good. And how are you?
We're doing good. What would we be doing better if we had a real plan put in place? And I saw a light at the end of this tunnel. And what I see is almost like 1994 all over again right now. And I like to bring that up, actually, because I remember it vividly. And I was living in Montreal at the time. And after all those years, the Expos were finally a dominant team. There was no World Series. There's been 25-plus years of harmony since then. But this could get, you know, pretty ugly pretty fast, couldn't it?
It really could. And I expect it to in the next couple of weeks, because this is going to end up resulting in a big disagreement between the players and the owners, because the players want one thing and owners want the other thing. And they're on completely opposite sides of the spectrum. I expect it in the next couple of days, maybe even the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a lot of leaks that there's tension. You can already sense it early on today so far, talking to people in the know. But I ultimately expect it to get done, and there's going to be an agreement in place where we can eventually have baseball again. And I know that's going to be a welcome thing for a lot of different people, but it's going to start ugly, but then it's going to end up getting better by when it's all said and done.
Yeah, like any negotiations, right? They both have a lot to lose here.
Yep.
I don't think the players appreciate the fact that they've been painted into a corner right off the top, right, with the constant leaks and the proposals. And the thing that sticks out to me the most is listen, I thought that the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League plan was the best plan. Play in the spring training stadiums, no fans. Players are used to living in those complexes in the areas to begin with. Bring your families there. Just don't go out shopping every day. Stay isolated. Not quarantined per se, but isolated. Testing, etc. I don't understand. To me, the 4th of July thing is sort of like when Trump said we're opening up on Easter, because it sounded good at the time, right? Mm-hmm. A rebirth type of thing. What, 4th of July? What, just by coincidence, you picked the 4th of July now? And I haven't heard, and we just talked about someone from New York, and we're in New York right now ourselves. Dude, I haven't seen Andrew Cuomo say, oh, yeah, Yankee Stadium's going to be open on July 4th. Have you? Has the governor of Wisconsin said they're opening up, the Brewers? Does Michigan seem like they're ready to have baseball in downtown Detroit right now? She won't even let you go boating, right? They're not selling, you won't sell lawn fertilizer, bro. Like, what am I missing here, Robert?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things. Like, I agree that having these games where the spring training is played, I think that's smart, but I also know that's not high up on their list of preferences. And I think we're going to end up seeing games there when this is all said and done. Like,
when it's all over, it's going to end up back there.
Yeah, and like, and another thing I'm thinking too is something they really want to do is they want to have some of these games played in cities where the cases are lesser. But as you mentioned, these places are not being opened up. So they're going to end up having to get creative. There's a lot of different scenarios at play. I do think we're going to end up seeing games where the spring training games are played. But where else they play is yet to be determined. It's going to end up being really fascinating to follow and see what they end up coming up with.
To me, too, we've been talking a lot about this from a college football perspective, in which college football commissioners are basically telling each other, listen, there's going to be competitive imbalances this year. It just is the way that it is, and we all have to live with it, and you can't complain. If the Oregon Ducks have to play for their first 5 weeks on the road, then so be it, right? Then you know, that's what you guys are going to have to do, and you have to reschedule games if you can't play in your home stadium, et cetera. I get all that, but I don't see how it works with baseball. So what? So what, the Texas Rangers are going to get to play at home, but you're going to ask the Yankees and Mets to go play in Florida at their spring training? The Toronto Blue Jays, suddenly what, they're supposed to give up playing at home, and they're going to what? They're going to play in Buffalo? That's being, you know, that was thrown out there. That's where their farm team is. Ooh, they'll play in Buffalo. Like, there's just so many things that in every little one of those things would be a massive negotiation, Robert, let alone to have them all at once. Oh, yeah, we're going to come back. And by the way, you're going to play in Buffalo. You guys are going to play in Arizona now from now on. What about California? Gavin Newsom doesn't seem to be ready to open anything up.
No, it's going to result in sheer chaos is what it's going to end up doing here. This negotiation is going to end up being one of the more tense ones, and it's going to have ramifications throughout the next few years with the CBA. But if we're like really focusing on the now, what this is all resulting in is a lot of concerns about these players' health. And that's number one for what the players are worried about is how are you going to be able to move these guys from, say, you mentioned Texas and you want to move them to Arizona for a game or a series. How are you going to be able to do that safely? That's something that the players are thinking about right now. Like salary too. It's just the safety thing is really the big one. And if they're able to come up with protocols where the players are going to be able to travel safely, then I think we're going to end up seeing progress. But that's going to end up being one of the big sticking points because we're not just talking about players either. We're talking about coaches. We're talking about families. We're talking about all sorts of different people. And if they're able to come up with something like that, I think that's when we're going to end up seeing some progress.
How many managers and umpires are over the age of 60 with pre-existing conditions? Like, but what, like half of them? You know what I'm saying? Like,
has to be.
Yeah, like, you know, you go down the list, and it's funny, you know, we talk about health, and I'm sure there's people tuning in right now, and trust me, people, I'm not a pinko commie, all right? But I'm sure there's people tuning in, oh, this guy's talking about health, and you know, people talk more about the money, and oh, the players are greedy, and oh, the players better do this. Sean Doolittle, who's a pretty smart guy, I'm sure you saw his Twitter tirade and his Twitter thoughts about things, and he was bringing up the safety issues, and they were legitimate concerns. Right. About, OK, you know, yeah, you know, people in their 20s don't die as much, but there's permanent damage to your lungs. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of damage does that do to an athlete moving forward? And who's going to be responsible for any compensation from injuries related to coronavirus, which are all legitimate questions that I don't think, you know, Joe Sixpack really cares about. Because, you know, you see the Twitter replies. My wife works at Walmart. I work in a warehouse. And, you know, I sympathize with these people, but the fact is you don't have a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, like I say.
Exactly. And, like, and as you say, Joe Sixpack, is what you said, it doesn't have to worry about this. Or, I mean,
they're not the ones traveling around you, right?
Exactly. And, like, and the thing you have to worry about, though, is, like, if they end up getting it and they end up seeing their father or they see a manager or they see a parent or whoever is older and spread it to them, I mean, that's another thing that they're worried about, too. It's just... As you mentioned, the safety thing is going to end up being a huge, huge key in this. I mean, it may not seem like on the surface to some people that it's a really pressing issue, but in reality it is. And that's going to end up being the biggest obstacle when it's all said and done.
I got a message from somebody who's a pretty smart guy. And he told me that he goes, between you and me, from inside sources, he goes, I know one owner that doesn't even want to play. And how many, you know, without the fans, how many owners, are they all universally owners together in on this? Or are some of them thinking, you know, without the fans and unless we get the players to agree to this new revenue split, then you know what? It's not worth it for us.
Yeah, I think the owners, when it's all said and done, are going to want this to happen, because if they don't have games, they're not going to be able to generate revenue from TV contracts or other outside sources. And I think that's going to end up being the big thing with all this is the owners and the players both can gain from all this. So I think this is going to be a universal thing of where both sides want to play, but are they going to be able to come up with an agreement on all these issues? It's going to take time. It's going to take probably a couple weeks, maybe toward the end of the month. Like, as I mentioned before, I do think something's going to end up getting done when it's all said and done. But I do think that it's going to be a universal thing where both sides want to get this done. It's just a matter of how quickly is this going to be able to get agreed upon.
I think, you know, me personally, I think there's a chance as well. I think there's a good chance they play. I think that the July 4 stuff is very unrealistic. I think if they were realistic about this, they would begin to plan now. And they're not even on the same page. As you stated, it's going to take a while. I think August is more realistic. And then you get into, all right, what are the logistics of this? I don't understand them wanting to fly around either. I just don't get that. I get that the players were adamant. I know, in Milwaukee, Brett Anderson said no. Mike Trout was like, no. Mike Trout has a pre-existing condition as it is. Clayton Kershaw, a lot of big players were against the quarantine, so to speak, especially without their families. But they weren't really down with it with their families either. At some point, there has to be a compromise. But I don't understand from a safety and a health issue how they think that flying around America right now is the best way to go about this. They're only going to expose themselves all the time, Robert. I don't get this. Do they have one doctor? Is there one medical advisor in the room with this proposal?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question. It's as I mentioned, it's going to end up being a huge concern for all of them. If they're able to get something in place where they're able to get testing and other ways of making sure these guys are safe and being able to do so while traveling, I think that's going to end up being a big thing. But as you mentioned, there's not going to be many people who want to travel right now, especially with everything going on right now. That's going to end up being the big thing with all this, travel.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to ask these guys to travel basically every 3 days.
Yeah.
So every 3 days, guys, let's get on a plane and off a plane. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I maintain that the Florida and Arizona stuff made the most sense. But, you know, people wonder, they look at Korea and they saw the Korean League did it. Well, the Korean League is a smaller league. The Korean League actually attacked this and has been going about this for about 6 weeks, dude, it took. It took them a long time to get to the point. They would practice and then, oh, we got three guys with it. All right, isolate them. And, you know what I mean? They did contact trade. They were really, really on top of it. Nobody's really, really on top of it here. That's the big difference. And when people see the UFC, they're like, oh, well, the UFC did it. The UFC are doing these one-offs. You know what I mean? You got 100 people. Dude, you know how many people? The UFC, it took 1,200 tests to do that card on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's going to be the big thing with baseball in the United States is, as you mentioned, with having those tests, the 1,200 tests, are you going to be able to have tests available for every single person that's on each facility? And how are you going to be able to do that and make that manageable? I don't know how they're going to be able to do that because, as you said, there's a lot more people in Major League Baseball than there is in Korea or even in the UFC. So, I mean, that's one of the many things that they're going to have to discuss. It's just, it's a lot. And I think both sides recognize that right now.
Yeah, we've only got a couple of minutes left here with Robert Murray from The Score. The thing that sucks, too, is it was actually a fun baseball season coming into the year this year. You know what I mean? There was actually a lot going on. It was wow, Mookie Betts is on the Dodgers now. And can the Dodgers finally, to me, it felt like the Yankees and the Dodgers were finally on that collision course for that, the big time World Series. And then you had the Houston Astros coming and people were so looking forward. People, everyone had the date circled. One of the Astros come to my town so I can let him have it. Right. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of interesting storylines coming into this year that we're not seeing now, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer because the big one is Mookie Betts going to the Dodgers and how that was supposed to make them unstoppable in the piece that made them go from good to great and give them the World Series. And you mentioned the Astros, too, And it's funny that with all this, that Jeff Lunau and AJ Hinch might only be suspended rather than a full 162 and whatever they do in the playoffs.
Yeah, time served.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy to think about, but, you know, it's, I mean, that's what they're punishing.
I wish Rob Manfred was the principal of my high school, Robert. Maybe I wouldn't have gotten kicked out for all things I would have done. He would have said, oh, no, it's fine, son. It's fine. He seems to let everything go. Robert, unfortunately, we got to get out of here. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, unfortunately, Cam, we're on the clock, old school style. Let's do this thing. Michael Johnson's about to step into the octagon, actually. Just 2-5 in his last 7 fights, getting Thiago Moises. And listen, Michael Johnson could be fighting in Bellator soon if he doesn't win this fight, all right? There's something about Michael Johnson. I mean, sometimes he's dynamic and, I don't know, sometimes he just doesn't let it fly. There's like something, there's like a mental block with this guy, but he's extremely athletic. It's -108 right now. Basically a pickup. I'm going to take a chance with Michael Johnson. And we were talking about Andre Arlovsky. He's just an automatic bet against. Nice guy. Great guy. He's a legend. Yeah. Hall of Famer. But come on, man. He's 3-9-1 in his last 13 fights. So we're going to bet against him. What are you looking at, Ken?
Well, Gabe, I'm going to ride a couple of your totals because I usually play sides more than totals. But let's start off with Smith at -180. And we'll cap him also in a couple of parlays. I think he will get the fight done. Big dog of the night, Roberson, +165. That's a big, big price. I think I'm going to put it on the card. As I told you, the Rothwell fight could go either way, but I'm getting a guy at +125 against OSP. I think that's a good price. Hopefully, good Ben shows up. And you talked about Arlovsky. Great guy, legend of the sport, been there forever, but Linz at -155, I think, is a very, very good price there. Also, the over in the Roberson fight, the over in the Simon fight. You said that's to +110, 115. And maybe our boy Dober. Why don't we get a little Dober, that fight of the night you're calling there at -120. Yeah. Very tight. I'm going to sprinkle on that one, but I like my lean. My mind tells me Dober in that fight, buddy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about that, betting against Dober right now. He's a hot fighter, that's for sure. But we're gonna take Anthony Smith as well. We're going to go over the 2.5 rounds with Anthony Smith and Glover Teixeira. In that fight, we're rolling the dice with OSP to win a fight. We're rolling the dice that this fight can go the distance at +156. We've got Alexander Hernandez. I've got Ricky Simon. Don't you lose that number, Ricky. Get it done. Ricky Simon. Ricky -174. That fight's going to go the distance. We'll parlay that to go the distance with Marvin Vettori and Roberson to go over the number. I'll tell you what, I'm going to roll the dice on Roberson as an underdog, too. I like Michael Johnson to get it done. And as Cam mentioned, we've got to bet against Andre Arlovsky, who people don't know this. Andre Arlovsky was actually one of the security guards on the Jerry Springer show. He actually was.
That's great.
Yeah, Arlovsky trained in Chicago, and he got a gig as a security on the Jerry Springer show.
Good security
guard. He's also been in a lot of movies, but we got to get out of here. Stay safe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.